the Embarcadero needed some sprucing up. And I took that to heart and went down and made my own list of things that needed sprucing. And John Meyer has added to that, and so have some other people. It's amazing what you see when you really look that you don't see when you're just going about your regular business. So anyway, that is being addressed, and Andrea has taken it to Joe Woods, and there is progress being made, so we appreciate the wake-up from you. Also, I'm going to take this time to do, I'm on my own little campaign here, about distracted driving. I saw an Oprah show about this subject and how absolutely dangerous it is to drive talking on your cell phone or texting, which is what so many kids especially are doing. And the statistics are kind of disturbing. If you're talking, even on a hands-free device, you're 4 times more likely to have an accident. If you're texting, you're 8 times more likely to have an accident. It's equivalent to driving drunk. So basically, all those people out there texting, you're on the road with a bunch of drunk drivers. The statistics are shocking. 6,000 people died, and over 500,000 have been injured in cell phone-related accidents. So last night, the police chief and I did a report. I called Harpo Productions, and I asked if I could use this video that they had done from the show to get this message out locally. And they said, yes, I could show it on the government channel. I could show it at the high school. I'm going to take it there as well. So last night at PWAB, we did the presentation. It's about a 17-minute video. And it was interesting. Afterwards, the whole room was just silent. It's a very powerful video. It's going to be running on AGP Channel 20. So I urge you to try and catch that. And if you have kids, please have them watch it. I'm going to try and show it at the high school also, but the more we get that message across to them, the better. So everybody should watch it. It's just something that's epidemic right now, and it's very frightening, the consequences, what can happen in just a couple of seconds of distracted driving. They have one kid on there. He was 19. He got in his car. He started texting. 10 minutes later, he hit another car, killed 2 men, and has lived with that for the last 3 years, which is very difficult. And he only served 30 days in jail. Oprah asked him, was that enough? And he said no. So it's a very powerful video. I urge you to watch it. Also, I urge you to go to Oprah.com and sign up to be in the no-phone zone, which says that you will not use your cell phone when you are driving. The call can wait. It's not worth risking anyone's life. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing that there's nobody else for public comment, we'll go ahead and close the public comment. We go to board announcements. Anybody on the board have any announcements to make? Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to thank the mayor and the city manager because there have been quite a few emails flying back and forth about sprucing up the Embarcadero. And Andrea, the city manager, had already mentioned that in the consolidation of the maintenance departments that Joe was already putting together a list of things that I guess were kind of delayed maintenance, he felt, in the Embarcadero. So I think the program that the city council instituted for linking the various committees and boards of the city to the city council more effectively, hopefully this is one good example of it working right away. Thank you.
Well, as you know, Peter Candela has left the chamber. He's now spending time with his family and enjoying a little bit of life. I'm the interim that's been appointed by the chamber board. Don Double D is my name, and I'm going to try to sit in for Peter and come up to speed. And this is my 4th day on the job, so I don't have all the answers or not even sure I have the questions yet. So bear with me, and I appreciate any help that I can get from you to bring me up to speed.
Well, welcome, Don. It's nice to have you here. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to make a couple announcements real quick. I'd asked Andrea, just coming back, as you guys know, I sit on the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau. We had a meeting yesterday, and I wanted to just kind of give you guys a few little tidbits of what they're doing or things that I kind of learned yesterday. Obviously, we know SAVOR, the Central Coast, is coming up in October. They've got a lot of staff training for the hoteliers. that they're putting on. They've got one here at the Inn at Morro Bay on Wednesday the 25th. They have a 10:30 to 11:30 as well as a 3 to 4. So if you want to send any hoteliers or even restauranters, if you want to send any of your staff to the Inn at Morro Bay for this Sunset Savor the Central Coast, it's basically a customer service training and information on the event, so people know where shuttle stops are and just to know a lot about it, because obviously Morro Bay is very involved. As well, another thing, this is bid, and we backed in, and now they're coming to all of the BIDs and the county and saying, okay, well, what do you guys want from us? Because they want to be able to commingle and not duplicate things. So I think that's something that we here as a board should really listen to and come up with what we want and be able to verbalize and tell them that. And every city has also, in the county, plus the county itself, funded the VCB. So they're also happy to report that as well. So those would be my announcements on the VCB level.
Chair Hawkes, do you want to talk a little bit about the Bid Alliance?
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's a very good thing. So there's, for anybody who's not aware, the chair and vice chair of each city's BID, as well as the county itself, has came together as an alliance. We now have what's called a BID alliance. We're meeting once a month for the first, 6 months, and we're all sitting down and kind of correlating on how we can kind of co-opt together, where other cities are standing, whether it's advertising opportunities, bringing travel writers in, and just kind of trying to work together on a county level. And we had our first meeting in August. It went very successful. John was there, Andrea was there, Joan and I, and it was, I think, a really great start to something for a county effort. Obviously, we all have our own BIDs first and foremost, but this is a way for us to come together and try to do some county stuff. And I think Savor is a great example of when everybody comes together for an event, how successful it can be. Obviously, it's not over yet, but to see the enthusiasm behind it is really exciting. So I think, our goal is to hope and to also kind of work through some of the problems that, maybe we've had or another BID has had, and how have they solved it and how have they worked together. So it's been Pismo, Paso Robles, the county, Morro Bay. I think that's everybody. Might be. Oh, and San Luis Obispo. Thank you. I was missing someone. And we've been all. Our next meeting is actually on September 14th, and here in Morro Bay, we are hosting the next meeting. So I think it'll be a great start to kind of a little bit of county working together on several things. So that's another great announcement. Thank you, Andrea. Anybody else have any other announcements before we move forward? Okay. Seeing there's no other announcements, we'll go for an approval of minutes for the July 15th regular meeting. Has everybody had a chance to look those meeting notes over? Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from last month.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the minutes for the July 15th, 2010 meeting have been approved. Thank you, Jane. Jane's now here. Okay, so we'll move on to monthly reports. The first monthly report is going to be Trade Show Subcommittee, which I sit on that, so I can report Trade Show Subcommittee. We have met. We have been basically working on the Savor the Central Coast event. That's basically where our main focus has been on. We had a – Joan went to a – since she's not here, I'll kind of speak. I didn't go. They actually took oyster – they took some somebody from Sunset, Steve Burns came from Sunset as well. There's a few other people that came. They actually did the oyster tour, which was really great. Got a chance to kind of do a little trial run on what we would do during the Sunset event for that. That was very successful. They went and had dinner. They had the oysters that they got to share. So I know that was very, very, very I don't know what the word is. I'm kind of drawing a blank, but successful. There we go. Thank you. Now I see why I always am popping to Joan words. So we're basically just working on the booth and working on, you know, the event itself, what we're going to do. We're going to do an oyster little contest, and we're looking for donations. So if anybody would like to donate anything for prizes at the Sunset event, that would be great. We're looking for all kinds of donations from Morro Bay. So anybody out there that wants to get their name out there at the Sunset event, we'd be more than happy to take donations. And I think that's about it to report on the trade show subcommittee. Review of transient occupancy report, Andrea.
Thank you and good morning, Board. The numbers for the transient occupancy for June were, again, somewhat disappointing. We were lower, this year than last. Last year, during the month of June, we brought in approximately $194,000 overall in total tax collected. This last year, we were $187,000. More of a T-bid money. I think that's what you were interested in. Great. So I think we've got that, and we'll be bringing that to you on a quarterly basis just for your information.
One of the reasons that I was also interested in the correlation between sales tax and the hotel tax, I would just like to see if we're down, for instance, in June or in that quarter, then I'd like to see how it correlates to the sales, because as I've always maintained, our occupancy affects the retail markets here in entertainment. So I think those correlation figures, even on a graph, you know, when we can get those together, I'd like to see.
Okay, moving on to TJA Advertising Agency Report, to John.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. One item that we discussed in the promotions committee, and I know Don's going to be looking into this for us, is talked about trimming the bushes around the billboard. And so that's, I know Peter had been working on that, and something that as I come in, I always see that billboard, and I think it's getting to the point where it needs to be really taken care of, and Chamber is going to work on getting that taken care of. There's quite a few things as far as updates to the website, which I'll probably... I can cover that under my report. I know we have a website subcommittee, but if it's okay, I'll just kind of do both. And I'll call Rick up to help us with that. But prior to that, we did meet with the creative subcommittee, and I know that's on the agenda, so we can talk a little bit about that when that item comes up. We're currently working with the subcommittee for the new visitor's guide, and we had a good meeting on that, got some direction. I'm hoping to have a follow-up meeting since Joan will be back, and she's on that committee probably as early as Wednesday to kind of look at some final concepts, and we've got it pretty well laid out, so we're still trying to make that deadline of the Saver event to have that to be able to provide us fulfillment. We have a travel writer coming in from 805 Living Magazine, which is a magazine that covers the San Fernando Valley, Ventura, and they're going to be focusing on dining. And that's going to happen next week. And they have selected kind of their theme as fine dining, so we've been trying to help them with that. We suggested also expanding it to family dining, and we're still trying to work with them on that, but they really wanted to focus on fine dining. We've been working with the Chamber on their Facebook and trying to enhance that, and we've just posted new update information on the Harbor Festival as well as the Saver event. And we're really refining that. We just recently, in a couple days ago, sent out a newsletter to our database of about 9,000. And Rick's going to cover that in a moment with the results of that. We've got some good tracking that we've set up for that as well. And one of the things that I'll mention that's came up in the website subcommittee is that we're on an operating platform with Elements. And I think everybody's probably heard of that company. And we utilized them many years ago because they were really the only ones that had the type of software that we needed to do the things that we do. And we're finding that more and more we want to try to wean ourselves away from some of those things because it's another party that we have to deal with. And in the sense of sending out the newsletter in the past, they handled the database. We would contact them. They would actually send the newsletter out. So our goal for next year is to slowly replace the things that we had under their control. And the newsletter was the first one. So I'm happy to say now that we're able to send a newsletter out. We have access to that database now. We own that. We have the names. And when it was 1,000 names, it wasn't a significant. Well, now it's 9,000, and we want to make sure that we always have access to that list, no matter what would ever happen to the other company or whatever, and that has been achieved. And in the long run, we'll save money. Also, the video player and some of the other tools that we have on that site, we're slowly replacing them to where we have complete control of those, and we don't need a third party to do those things for us. Michelle mentioned about the county VCB. I mentioned in our last meeting that I was working in tandem with Mental Marketing, who handles PASO's BID, about trying to formulate a co-op program, and you guys had a little had some discussion about that, and I presented what we had in mind. That's moved along pretty well. What we did is we contacted John Summer and sat down with him and his staff and suggested that we get the VCB involved too, because it would be a – we're talking about a county ad program that would be paid for by the co-oping partners. And so now – and they were really happy to have that assistance. This will probably end up being the county advertising program because they really don't have any funds to do their own advertising. But obviously we need an advertising campaign for the county. So the good news is it looks like we might get San Luis Obispo involved, so we really would have a true county effort. That might lower the commitment by each party if we have more people participating. We have some things we're looking at. One was in the springtime with U.S. Airways, an in-flight program where, again, the website subcommittee consists of a couple of members from the promotions committee as well as members from the BID, so we're all on the same page when we work that way. Did you have a question, Karen?
Yeah, excuse me a minute, Rick. Okay. I had a question a thought that came up when you were discussing a newsletter and database and proprietary. Do we have access, did our involvement in Saver give us any access to their website, to their database that I'm sure they're putting together with their 8,000 tickets that they're selling?
I know that we're linked, and as far as the them providing us with that database, I'm not really sure. I'd have to find out about that.
I can answer that a little bit. This just came up yesterday at the meeting. They have every ticket that's been purchased, everybody that's hit, they have all the analytics, the Google analytics that go with that. Mm-hmm. They're going to actually be providing a report when it's done that we'll be able to see a report of where people were coming from, you know, who bought the tickets, where were they at, right. Who did that. So there's a lot, I think, to go. It was just touched on briefly at the meeting yesterday, but I think we will get to see those reports as we move a little bit more forward. And I know one thing that came up yesterday, the Morro Bay Rock has been hit 15 million times on that website. So that's pretty amazing, that impression that's on that thing. And I thought that was really astonishing. I should have probably brought that up earlier. But I was really astonished when I said 15 million. But they will have all of those statistics. They have also, the VCB has hired a independent contractor, and I have the name somewhere, that they're going to be doing an economic impact study on how much money this event has brought into the county. Which I think will be very interesting, and they're saying that should be done, you know, 3 to 6 weeks after the event's over. So
that was a good question, though, Karen. I like that. You know, I like to get my hands on their email database. You know, but
anyway. We'll follow up on that. And just to give kind of an overview, a couple of things that occurred from the website subcommittee. One was that we talked about we do currently have suggested itineraries, and it does get quite a bit of exposure. You know, we have like family itinerary, adventure itinerary. But one of the things that we wanted to add was the itinerary of somebody coming more than one night. So we have a 3-day itinerary, and it's. I encourage you to. I won't go through it line by line today, but you can click on it and read it, and it really kind of gives people an idea of what they can do each day of those 3 days to really encourage people to the fact that they need to come here and not just experience this for one night, but to stay multiple nights. And then also, we talked about the newsletter, and Rick's going to share some more thoughts on that. We also did a specials page.
Yeah, that's what I was going to start on first, John.
Okay, I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at your stats, and you remember Joan asked me to put page views by title. Well, I added a new one for July, and that's the specials page. And as you see in July, we had 2,626 page views with no specials there. Okay, so John said, Rick, let's go out and do something about that. So we got together, and if you click, go down on the left there, and you click on the specials and deals, what I did was I went out to everybody's website, lodging website, and scraped off what deals were there and put a link up to it. So this is what, now we actually have a true specials page. And you can see, if you had a live special on your lodging site, I got it and put it up there. Now, I might have missed somebody, but we went through that, and hopefully that'll inspire more people to put it up and be current and stuff like that. Now, the additional, this hasn't been up too long, so we're going to, but what we're going to do is under each one of the button links, the click links, if you click on it right now, it'll go right to your special, Michelle. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put an event tracker on it. So in other words, on your Google Analytics, under event tracking, we'll be able to find out how many people are clicking on it once again. Hopefully that'll encourage people saying, well, I got 20 clicks this month. That's cool. That's an additional 20 clicks, and it leads right to the specials page. And so that's one of
And as Rick said, this is totally a work in progress. It's just a starting point. It's just to get us going, because before we had our ultimate getaway on there, and we may have missed somebody. If we did, we apologize. But the only way we know is for them to alert us. And we took generic things. So if you have other packages that you want to put on there, that's what this is for. We just wanted to pollinate it with something. And I think now that people see it's there and they see the success that we're going to have from this, hopefully we'll get a lot more lodging partners. And we talked about, too, in the last meeting that, and Nick, this would be more for your benefit, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't have a dining specials page, too. And I think this could really expand because, and we've talked about this before, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here because we're all in this business, but people want a deal right now. They want a bargain. And I think that whatever we can do to provide a bargain for somebody that shows value, and I think that's one of our unique selling points in Morro Bay, it's going to help us. And so I think as we can increase these specials and keep them up to date, too, I think also, you know, just having the generic ones is great, but we want to have it timed, because then what we did is we, in the interim, we gave people the option. They could either watch the movie or not watch it, which is commonly done. Now, and this was in our program, we originally talked about, you know, let's go a year and we're going to want to change this out anyway. So I think we're at that point. And now the alternative would be to go to this flash program that Rick has designed.
So this is what we came up with, and basically it's a lead-in for interior page contents. And you can see now, once again, we haven't wordsmithed it at all, but you can see down there on the left corner it says Morro Bay, enjoy our natural wonder, click here, and that basically is back to the home page. Here is an activity. You click on this picture, it takes you to the activity page. This takes you to our event calendar. And you can see it has some little subtext onto it, which I said hasn't been wordsmithed yet. And this is a picture we took from the Highway 1, and that we're the gateway to Highway 1. Click here, it goes to that itinerary thing. This is the lead in to the dining page. So that was what the subcommittee kind of talked about, is let's get some visual lead-ins to interior content. And all we did was we utilized the interior still pictures. This animation is called the Ken Burns Effects. It takes a still picture and pans and zooms it. You probably have seen some of it around. But once again, and it has that subtext underneath it. So this is a work in progress. And, you know, we just crank this out just to show you that we are listening and we think this could be a way to go.
I think the nice thing is it's not only just pictures, but now we've got a new navigation system, too. So people, again, can go right to whatever they're, if they're interested. They see the food shot, they're interested in dining, they'll click on that and go right to the dining section.
So that is one of the other things that we've got into. So, and then back to...
You want to do the itinerary? Want to just show that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, John. Yeah. So go back.
It's actually go up to the top, plan a trip.
Oh, I already have my trip.
And then choose an itinerary. There we go. So if you'll just click on those, the ones before that, family adventure, romantic getaway, all of those were on previously. But then if you'll click on the 3-day stay, which is at the top, it takes you through your 3-day experience, starting off with like your gourmet day, you know, dining and enjoying all the restaurants. And then out and about, we talk about all the things, you know, using Morro Bay as your headquarters, go to Hearst Castle, see the elephant seals. And that could certainly be timed with seasonality, too. And we'll try to keep it updated in that way. Like if they come over for Christmas, highlighting some of the Christmas activities and events. And then down to day three, which is the thrill of victory, you know, kind of the whole thing about going out and exploring again.
And the prior slideshow where it showed Highway 1, if the person was to click on that, would go right into the three-day itinerary, which would give them, you know, get them down a level real quick instead of having to go that way. Just another way to tease people to go do this or that.
And we have a new line that I kind of like, and it's not to say that we're going to abandon Discovery or Better Nature, but if you go down to the bottom again, that you'll see where it says, come where you're welcome. And I think, again, that's a good mantra for us, because I think people are stressed. They're hard-pressed to spend their money, and they don't want to waste it, and they want to come where they're welcome. So I think that's a good little theme for us, too.
May I make a suggestion?
We just got to fulfill that.
May I make a suggestion? I think we need to be inclusive somewhere with pets. We're getting calls all the time for rooms with pets, all kinds of pets. We're getting calls that say that this is the most pet-friendly town. It's being touted in other magazines. People that stay here love it. There's a realtor that has put together where you can eat pet-friendly restaurants, pet-friendly dog, you know, locations. I think that we need something like that.
No, I think that's a really good suggestion. Can you go back to the itineraries again, just to, 'cause what we could do...
And there's no other website that has that. That's a city around here.
So what we could do is, you know, like we've got Kid Fun, Wine Adventure. We could have Bring Your Pet, or Your Pets and Your Pets Welcome, or Pet Included, and then we could have a whole itinerary. We could have fun with that. That could actually be a really fun copy. You know, like what you can do with your, you know, your dog. Bring them down to the beach. Keep them on a leash.
Michelle has put in a Best Western initiative for pet friendly also.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, it's really
no,
a thing that
really
people are pushing towards right now.
What we've done in Pismo is on the hotel listing page, if it's a pet friendly, I put a little icon of a dog there. Because, you know, and she's right, they get a lot of requests for that. And as you know, Best Western is doing it, so your guys are right on track with that. That'd be perfect addition to add.
What we'll do is by next meeting, we'll have a pet-friendly itinerary on there under that section.
Okay, so the other thing, the other major thing, in the, at least in the web stats that I've given you, is if you go to the master lodging report, you can see that we've now combined Jackrabbit Clicks in there. And this
with some of the GDS systems and Jackrabbit?
That would be a John question dealing with Jackrabbit.
But, okay.
Yeah, I don't deal directly with Jackrabbit. Only thing in my interaction with Jackrabbit is just reporting these stats.
Okay.
But we can find that out.
Yeah, that'd be great to find that out. So the last thing that John mentioned is we did do an email broadcast, and I've got...
So, Karen, what was the... Just so I know what question to ask them, what's the...
Well, we're Intopia, and Intopia has locked Jackrabbit out for sweeping. And I've talked to both of them. They're both giving me different reasons for the lockdown. We're listed, of course, but we're not listed with rates anymore.
Okay.
So I know that Jane had a big problem.
Karen?
So the problem is that we're on two different systems, and the information we get from Jackrabbit is not complete, or we have to be on both systems constantly so that we don't get double bookings, which has happened to me.
So, Karen, there's a sheet there just to your, pass that around so I can talk.
And, Jane, did you address that with Jackrabbit? I mean, did they?
Well, the problem is that the systems don't communicate, and they're not going to communicate. And there's been a problem because it's about security. What happens when you swipe a system, there's that little bit of problem that your whole system could be to go down, thing one. And thing two, that certain information can be gotten of all your clients. And so that's why... The system I'm on has locked them out so far, and they're trying to build a new system that will be more swipe friendly, because they're afraid if Jackrabbit goes down or something, it will affect every other hotelier that's on that system.
The story I got was a little different. It had to do with the frequency of swiping through the system and slowing down all the other clients. So...
Well, it sounds like it might be time to bring Mr. Jackrabbit back up.
Yeah,
and let him address all these issues, because he called me a couple of days ago, and I think I'll just suggest to him, why don't you come to our next meeting? And then I think if we know that that's going to, and I'll send out an email verifying that he's able to come, and then I would suggest that we just use that opportunity, any issues we have whatsoever, to pinpoint it down with him.
But the situation is that's not going to change our people. Basically, what if this organization keeps with Jackrabbit, then we are eventually going to have to change to a system that will be Jackrabbit friendly. And then if you ever get rid of Jackrabbit, we're going to have to change again.
Well, and again, you know, this is a discussion that the board, you know, maybe you put this on the agenda, because I have no allegiances to Jackrabbit. You know, I had them come because they do the county, and I knew that they had, you know, they had other good clients. But if we're not able to work with them and they're hindering us, I mean, it's obvious that it's working. The reservations alternative is important, but if they're not the ones, then. But I don't really have enough knowledge or researched it enough to know what the other companies would do. And if anybody does, then, you know, maybe we should just, you know, before I bring the rep up, maybe we ought to have just a general discussion, because, as you said, it doesn't sound like he's going to be able to give you the answer you want to hear.
Well, the other thing is, you could just go to all, somebody can go to all the hoteliers and find out who's on the system, because we know that there are hotels that aren't on online, so they're not using it.
Right.
If Karen's not using it, I'm not using it, or trying to do two systems, which is real fun, Michelle. Sundowner's not using it. Roadway's not using it. Pleasant Inn's not using it. I mean, that's over 20% of our hotels aren't even using it.
John, is there a way you could send an email out just asking everybody if they're having issues with Jackrabbit?
Okay.
Then that way we could get a good feel maybe of who's having issues. Right. I knew that Jane had been having issues. I didn't know that they had. You know, my three properties have been fine, but... Best Western integrates with just about everything.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to know what who's truly having problems and what that percentage is and how many hoteliers.
Yeah, I think that would be good, too, because prior to bringing Steve Mead up here, who represents Jackrabbit, have him get a heads up on what the issues are so he can research them and not just come up here and say, well, I'll look into that. You know, have him come with the answers. Again, I think that it's shown, though, that using a reservation system overall, you know, is a good one. And I think the reason that I suggested it originally was just to be competitive, because as I looked at Santa Barbara, I looked at Oxnard, Ventura, Monterey, I mean, they all have that. So if Jackrabbit's not the one, you know, then we don't have any long-term contract with them. And if everybody's not utilizing, I agree, I mean, we've got to look at that and see if it's a good investment, because we're spending $1,200 a month for that.
So moving on to the newsletter, we on 8/17 we sent out 9,041 newsletters. We had a success rate of 80%. We had a bounce rate of 20%. Now, why the bounces? Okay, first of all, this is an email list that we've inherited, so we don't know what the validity of the email addresses are. And also, if you signed up from within a firewall of a business or something like that, they might have something stopping from emailing back. So in other words, if Michelle signs up and she has to have somebody validate that to send her something, which is fairly typical, it will bounce. What we do is we have three bounces and you're out. And it doesn't matter if it's a hard bounce or soft bounce, you're out, and because we're now purging the list to make it work really good for us. We had, and in the left column was Harbor Festival, Brushstrokes, Art in the Park, Avocado Festival, and Savor. So we didn't put too much in front of them. They seemed to really, because Savor was down at the bottom and Savor had a lot of clicks on it, 57 clicks, it looks like we delivered a good message in very concise form. Gave them the opt-outs. We only got 174 unsubscribes, because now our email, the newsletter email sign-up on the site is a double opt-in. So Michelle comes in, signs up for the newsletter. The newsletter sign-up form sends Michelle an email saying, Michelle, you just signed up for the Morro Bay newsletter. Please click on this link to confirm. She clicks on that link. It comes back to our website and says, thank you for confirming. You're now in our database, or something to that effect. So it's called a double opt-in. So we're going to get a real clean email list going forward. Now, if Michelle signs up and she doesn't opt in, I see that on my side being the list manager, and I'll send her one more email saying, Michelle, you didn't confirm yet. Confirm and you're in. Don't confirm, you're gone. And that list will also purge itself every 30 days. So we've got, this is head and shoulders above what we had before. Plus, as John said aptly, we now control the database. We own it. We have the list. We're managing it like it is yours and not some third-party company.
I'm one of the clickies. So,
hope you found it interesting, John.
And I did not unsubscribe. The purpose behind the newsletter, I guess my reaction when I looked at the thing, and I didn't print it, but it's still in my PC, is it seemed incomplete. And maybe it is a work in process. I'm not sure.
Incomplete in what way, John?
Well, if you look at the calendar of events, it seemed like there was a lot of events that weren't listed. I mean, the Avocado and Margarita Festival was there, but I don't believe the Christmas Boat Parade was there.
No, it's really designed to...
Is it just for the next 90
days? Yes.
Short term. It'll be sent out every 30 days, we hope now, as we'll be sending it out. That's our goal.
Yeah, it's just really to kind of like what we do on the homepage, where we just list three upcoming events, because it just gets to be too much information. And what we're trying to do is to give people recent news, like this is coming up, you know, you need to mark this on your calendar, and encouraging them to go to the website maybe to see the other events. But it's really designed to give them a picture of what's happening in the next 90 days. And then we would follow up, and each of the major events that we would have, they would get another newsletter for that.
I'm not sure I got that sense in reading it. And maybe I'm a good example, or maybe I'm a bad example, because I didn't know a lot about this. I just clicked on it and looked at it. I kind of felt like the list of events, maybe it needs to say in the next 90 days, and here are our regularly scheduled annual events.
Yeah, maybe that copy, and then also for all of the events, you know, click here, and we could link them right to the calendar page, which would get them to go back to the website. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to keep it short, John. You don't want... Actually, in my world, I want to keep it to 2 pages printed out. It's 3 pages printed out. So it was a little long, because we have a very short attention span. There's a lot of things that are competing for your retina time. So we wanted to give it short, concise, let people interact with it, let people click on for more, leaving for more. Another 30 days, they'll get more information. And it has to be different information. You can't run the same thing at them too many times, or they will just unsubscribe. We got to get value there for it. And so this is our first time out of the shoot, and all the comments are great. We love to hear what you think about it, because we're doing it for you guys and trying to represent what the best purpose is for the bid committee is.
I guess I looked at the one from last month, but I don't recall it right now. Was like the yacht club races, was that an event listed?
No. That in the one we just did to you?
No, the for
that
last
I don't
month.
Know. I don't have a copy of
recall,
that.
But I don't remember know how many people those. Saw, but there was races Saturday and Sunday this past weekend. And talking to some people from the yacht club, there was, I don't know what class of boat these things are, you know, 15 feet or something or other. But I was told that there was 2 national champions racing in the race. And I call that an event. We went.
Well, I think we've had this discussion before. I think it's really garbage in, garbage out. If we don't know about the event, we won't post it. But
and this is not a comment to you guys. It's a comment of how do we collect this data and
better communication. You're
to
right. Is it even on the calendar of events for morrobay.org?
I don't think so.
It's not.
You know, those are the things that we have to, you know, like John says, if we're ignorant of it, we can't do anything about it. I would have probably come out and did a video about it, you know, and put it up on YouTube so it'd make it even a bigger event next year.
You know, one of the things that we did, and I think it kind of got sidetracked, but we originally had a public relations subcommittee. And really what I envisioned the public relations subcommittee was the reporters on the ground. That type of event would be really good for Morro Bay because it's we have a bay, unlike other people.
Right. For instance, on the YouTube thing, I just did the St. Anthony's Festival in Pismo Beach. Just got up the video, and it hasn't been up 19 hours now, and it's got 272 views already. And people are interacting. Oh yeah, I was there, you know, type of thing. So that's what we need more of. But it's communications that we got to get from the chamber, from you guys. You know, get it to John. John will get it to me, and we'll take care of it.
Just to comment, another thing that we're talking about, we have the computer on and the website up whenever we're open at the visitor center, and frequently a visitor will come in and we'll turn them around and let them see the website. We've been kicking around the idea of setting up a special computer that visitors, when they come in, can actually get in and access the website while they're right there visiting. And
that'd be great.
These type of articles where it shows some of the events and having some little video snippets and the YouTube things would be just fabulous for the visitor center. And it's not in place, but it's something that we've been kicking around, and I think we might end up going in that direction.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
The I had to work this in someplace, but the space capsule thing this last week was pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
When they were recovering it over at Associated Pacific, we were walking the dog, and there was some people with the SpaceX satin jackets, and so we figured they must know something. So I was chatting with one of the guys, and I said, you know, next time advertise a little bit, because we're all interested, we're all rooting for you kind of thing. And he seemed like a pretty nice guy, and he said late September, they're actually going to launch a real space capsule from Cape Canaveral, and they will put it into orbit, and they will return it to Morro Bay.
Wow.
Now, we've gone to the Space Kennedy or the Kennedy Space Center website, and there is a Falcon 9 rocket launch scheduled for fall. And their rocket is the Falcon 9. I presume the guy was not making up a story as we were talking. And to me, that's kind of news. You know, it's the Morro Bay spaceport kind of thing.
That's at the end of September, you said?
He said late September, mm-hmm. And the Kennedy website said fall. They have a launch scheduled for fall and then two scheduled for next year. The second one next year would actually link to the space station. And that's on the Kennedy website, Space Center website. So,
well, that could be really a fun, you know, I guess the only thing it would be horrible as if they couldn't launch because of weather or something. We set it all up to see it, but it could be a really fun event to have people actually come, and you could make that pretty whimsical. You know, it's almost like I'm old enough to remember when Sputnik, you know, used to go out and see the satellite go across the sky. I mean, that could almost be for a baby boomers to almost like that. That'd be really fun. Just got to make sure they launch it.
I've heard the same thing, and I think we're going to see more of that. The problem with recovery down in the Vandenberg area is the shipping channels down there, and then we have a port where they can come in and go out, so it's a lot more convenient than being down in Vandenberg. We have at our next small business networking breakfast, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the advantages and opportunities that are coming forth out of the Space Center out of Vandenberg.
Yeah, that's like, and just the value of that nationally, you know, it'd be great national news to put Morro Bay on the map. Because people are going to say, well, where is that place? You know, if they're looking at it from the national news perspective.
I guess we do, it's back to us, that we need to come up with a better way to get the news. We need to somehow through the PR committee get the reporters on the ground to get the news to these guys so they can get it on in the newsletter.
Specifically with the space drop, we had asked when they originally came in if it was information that we could share, and at that point, and it sounds like maybe they've changed their decision, but at this point, for the initial drop, they were not in favor of doing press releases. Specifically, we asked, their push was to not have a number of people here. It sounds like maybe they've changed, which is great, but we were specifically, you know, told that it was at this point. And the other thing that's interesting, I think it was Don that said we had a number of people, you know, show up at different times. The people that did find out about it came in the harbor office and asked when it was going to happen. And then when they were told it was dependent on weather, that it was it's such an iffy thing. And I think they scrapped the mission one day and then went the next. But certainly if they're going to come back again and they're interested in providing information to the public, that's excellent. plan.
Okay, so moving on, I think John covered the website subcommittee. Did you have anything else, John?
No.
Okay, so I think he covered the website subcommittee. Hotel packaging subcommittee report, did anybody meet? I don't know who sits on that. One thing I'll bring to my attention, Andrea sent out an email, I'm sure you all got it, in regards to a gentleman who was at public comment last week, Mitch Paskin. So whoever's on the committee...
I can just mention that we did have a meeting, and that's we talked about a new ad campaign that we're pretty much committed to we're placing ads right now, obviously, for fall. So this would be a late winter spring campaign, and we just kind of got some initial concepts and ideas. And really what we're looking toward is the visitor's guides kind of drive a lot of it, because we want the visitor guide to emulate the campaign, the print campaign, and look and feel. So that's pretty much what took place in that committee.
Perfect. And then the Public Relations Subcommittee, which I sit on, so I know we met, and that was John and Karen and I. And we've been meeting on the travel writers, working with the county BID. The travel writers will be coming in Wednesday, October 6th, I believe. They'll be staying one night here. We actually just had a meeting this morning. We've had a second meeting, but we had to meet with Cheryl and get the final of how many writers and what nights they were coming to Morro Bay and all that. Perfect. So they come in Sunday the 3rd into the county. They'll be here in Morro Bay on Wednesday the 6th. They'll stay one night. We're going to probably do an oyster tour with them, probably do dinner and oysters and champagne somewhere at a dinner. We're still trying to finalize all of that. We're going to have the entire travel writers. She's got 9 confirmed now. She's hoping to get 12 confirmed. She's got the 9 confirmed as of last Wednesday. But we would have all 20 people come and meet here for one big final night dinner, and that's our goal. We will not be having all the travel writers stay overnight in Morro Bay. We will have half stay here in Morro Bay, but they will all be here for the oyster tour, do a dinner, and then they depart the next morning. So that's what we're going to be doing with the travel writers, and they're going all around the county the whole time, so that should be really exciting. I think on the public relations subcommittee too, just as a side note, being that this reporter's on the ground thing, maybe the three of us can sit down and divvy up maybe who, some of these clubs that are here locally and get some contacts going and try to do a little bit more of reporting on the ground. It's hard. This is something we've battled with for years. How do we get the information to us so that we can get it out to everybody else? But hopefully maybe the subcommittee can re-meet and try to figure out a way to bridge that and get Don involved a little bit down at the chamber.
There was one thing, too, I should mention relative to public relations. We're working on, and Joan had emailed me prior to her going on vacation about an idea that came from a young lady that works with Cheryl, and she's helping out on Savor. And we had an idea what we would do is, we're doing this Battle of the Bays with the two chefs. We're going to have some fun with that and video the two chefs and have the chefs talk about why they think they're going to win and kind of cut away from them and talk about their experience and all of that and place that on YouTube and then also put it on our website. And then what we're thinking about doing is maybe have a couple of insertions of that leading up to Savor, and they could give like cooking tips too, like, your 1-minute cooking tip, how to shuck an oyster or something like that. But we want to have fun with it, and I understand that both chefs are kind of fun. So it's almost like if you've ever seen the show Chopped, it's going to be similar to that, where they're both kind of having a little bit of fun with each other and challenging each other and why they're going to win the competition. So we're working on fulfilling that, too.
Great. I think that'll be exciting. And I've heard that the Battle of the Bay is already half sold out, so that's kind of exciting. Okay, so we move on to the Tourism Business Improvement District Percentage Subcommittee, which I think that's something we're going to have to address if we still need that subcommittee, but I guess we can talk about that later. So we move on to unfinished business. Reports are finished. Review a form for groups to use to request funding. So did everybody receive the email? I think Joan sent out the email on the request for funding. If everybody wants to pull that out and look it over. Printed everything in the sun, and of course don't have that. Anybody have any comments on it after reviewing it?
I just think it looks pretty darn good. It requests a lot of information, so I think we're just going to have to be flexible, because I suspect some of these groups are not going to have coming in with full budgets and things like that. But I think the people who worked on this did a real good job. I'm very happy with it.
I have a comment or question. Did we decide what we were going to do with different levels of funding? Because it looks like just the regular standard form, but were we going to have a shorter form for, you know, for under 500 or under 1,000?
I think we're still going to use the 500, the request, but there weren't any corrections to that form, and the other ones had corrections to them, so she just sent out the pages that had corrections.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
One thing I had noticed, just for discussion, is
based on frequency discounts, and you know, some of that money gets committed. So you might want to think about sometime in the future to say, you know, we're going to, whatever the figure would be, 20,000, 50,000, we're going to put that as an item. And then the other thing, and this came up at a recent meeting that I was at, because I think every LBID's going through this, because there's a lot of people that want assistance. Is you might think about how the city of San Luis Obispo does it with their promotions committee, and they do it once a year. And the reason for that is because if you don't have it, if it's an ongoing thing, you're never going to really know what all the opportunities are. And then people will realize, okay, well, I've got to get before the LBID at this date. And it doesn't have to be one meeting. I mean, it could be a period, like you said, you know, maybe a 3-month or whatever. But if you did that prior to establishing the budget, then you would know, okay, we've committed to do funding for these four things. And then that's going to cost this much, and we put that into the budget. And then I know what to place otherwise for the rest of it. And then it's sort of like what the city council does. I mean, they have the funding. You know, people stand up and they request, and it's done during the budgetary time. So you might just consider that.
In any typical grant process, you do your budgetary item first. So if we say this is what we're going to set aside for this year, funding year, and then you put a time frame, and it could be just twice a year, and everybody has to know, you know, they just have to do their forms and have to get it in. It'll be a learning curve for people because they're used to coming in all the time. But you know what? You do have to do that. We've got a lot of stuff to do and a lot of money that we have to budget and spend wisely, and it has to be done professionally that way.
I think the idea between taking it quarterly as opposed to in every meeting or once a year was that the TBID is a new organization, a new source of fundings, and so in order to kind of give people a little broader chance of recognizing the fact that there may be another source out there, at least for the time being, we'd set it up quarterly, but hopefully not impact our time too much. It could be later down the road when we look at our budget, it could come in at that point. And at just once a year, and I could see that, or maybe it'd open it up twice a year, something like that. But you know, I really think that you know, having the ability to come in you know 12 times a year at every meeting is going to be more difficult than confining it to certain periods.
You know, if you looked at twice a year, again, maybe this is for the future, but you know, you could do fall and spring, because that's really kind of how our budget, even though we have a yearly, you know, a yearly budget or a July through June budget, the reality is that we spend money in the fall, we don't spend any money in the summer, and then we spend money in the spring. So you could really look at it that way too, and maybe you have a budget for, you know, fall and then spring activity or event, however you wanted to classify it.
So I think I would be in favor of just keeping it quarterly right now, and then, you know, we can always change it down the road. But I think it would, if keeping it at least quarterly, then it would encourage these groups to give us some time as well, rather than coming last minute and say, hey, we have this event in 30 days. Can you help us? You know, that doesn't really benefit either one.
It would also make them be organized and responsible.
So any other discussion on it? Does anybody want to make a motion on the form? Or
I'll make a motion to accept the parameters of the form and also the form itself.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so the form has been passed. That will now be our new form, and it was 4 months, I believe. Yeah,
October is our next one.
There we go, yeah. So, pay attention, everybody. okay, so that was finished, unfinished business. We've got new business. We have presentation from Sports Production Incorporated regarding the Hearst Castle to Morro Bay Rock Marathon.
This group requested to present at your August meeting, and they moved it. I'm sorry, your July meeting, they moved it to your August meeting, and I don't see them. So,
okay, so that is very easy. We will take them off the agenda and find out if they want to come back. B, discussion of scenic loop concept. So that was up for us for discussion on the scenic loop concept that last week Steve Nooks had came up and talked with us about trying to get people off of Highway 1 and do the whole scenic loop. I don't know if anybody would ready to discuss.
Steve's not here. I think there's pros and cons for everything, frankly. I mean, you get off of that scenic loop and people can get lost very easily there, and then they, you know, and then... So you've got pros and cons with every single thing.
And if it ever came to pass, then maybe the billboard, you know, we could change the billboard and things that, you know, are controlled by both groups. But the reality of it's just somebody on the ground going through all this grief to get it done.
Yeah. Is there any other discussion on it? Anybody? Okay.
I think it's a great idea, but I agree with you that I don't think that necessarily fits in this group. And it probably is a city council kind of thing. I find it ironic that the state parks don't want visitors. But I'd like to, maybe this is something else with our liaison to city council here that they might consider at some point. We should direct Steve to go over there.
In our prior meeting, council member Winholtz was here and talked a little bit about this coming before. It's come up before, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, and at that point it was kind of a similar discussion. It didn't come to this board. I believe it came to city council, and I'm looking at Mayor Peters because she might want to add in some comments, but the issue was it was multi-agencies, and there are a number of issues. Some people feel it's a good idea. Other people feel it's a tremendously bad idea, so... like anything that happens, there's pros and cons, but it's a big project with multiple agencies.
Is there anything you would like to add, Janice?
The only other point that was brought up in the discussion too was that the people who live along Main Street, right outside of the state park, didn't particularly want all that traffic either. So there's a lot of people who had concerns about it. However, to think of perhaps a scenic loop that goes down Morro Bay Boulevard to the Embarcadero and then out to the Rock and back up Beach Street and out North Morro Bay, that's something else again, and I have it on my list.
Thank you. And I do, I think, and me being, if I was wearing a retailer hat right now, too, I would kind of, I know for my hotels, I always celebrate to go Morro Bay Boulevard, even though there's a zillion stop signs, because I want them to see the town, and I want them to see that there's Old Town, and that there's a theater, and there's things up there, because we try to, you know, we always focus on the Embarcadero, but we also try to get people up into the other parts of town. So I think, again, there's a lot of pros and cons, and we'll let the city take that one on. okay, so that moves us to new business designation of a VCB rep. Andrea?
This was an item that I suggested you put on. Currently, you have a member of your board, Michelle Hawkes, that sits on the VCB Board of Directors. And generally, there has also been a city designation on the Resource Council, which is a part of the board, but has separate meetings as well as the meetings with the entire group. I did talk to John Summer, the director of the VCB, after we had our last meeting, and he is very interested in retaining the city represented on the Resource Council, and that is me, and I'm happy to continue. So this item is really a moot point. We don't need to change the representative. I'm happy to continue to go to the meetings.
So my request, is there a way we could put like a VC report up on the monthly report so that I can report monthly on what's going on there?
Absolutely. Okay. Great idea. We'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, so moving forward, consideration of funding for the Morro Bay Harbor Fest.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Hunter Kilpatrick, and I'm Vice President of the Harbor Festival this year. And I am here to request some funding to help with this year's festival. I got a little presentation here. Some of it you saw last time. I'll try to speed through the part you've seen. There's some additional stuff that we have added. As you know, our theme is Bounty of the Bay, the past, present, and future. We're going to try to highlight all the many different facets of Morro Bay. We're asking our vendors to do that. Our mission statement is to celebrate Morro Bay's harbor, coastal lifestyles, livelihoods, environment, and maritime heritage, to promote off-season tourism throughout the Central Coast, and to contribute significant funds to the diversity of San Luis Obispo County nonprofit organization. I want to go off page here just a little bit. You know, it'd be kind of neat if we can get that space shuttle, that space thing, to land on October 2nd.
There you go.
So let's work on that in our prayers.
With a big logo on the capsule.
I didn't put that in my slideshow that we're going to have a space capsule land here. As I stated before, in the last 26 years, we have raised $435,000 for dozens of local nonprofit organizations. We operate for some funding on that as well. We bring in about 22,000 visitors over the weekend. 35% of them come from outside San Luis Obispo County, and 49% are in Morro Bay just for the festival. It's the reason they came here. And this pretty much doubles our town population for the weekend. Our goals are to continue to increase tourism in Morro Bay to further benefit the local businesses and nonprofits. We want to raise more money for the nonprofits. We want to grow our fisheries, marine, and green educational programs, to continue striving to include and benefit our entire business and education community, and to grow our entertainment into a premier venue with major national acts while maintaining as a showcase for local musicians and civic groups. It's one of the things I'm coming to you about. We have some exciting news on that today. The challenges we're addressing is the public perception. This is why I'm in the public. One reason is to let people know that the Morro Bay Harbor Festival is a nonprofit agency. A lot of people think it's the city of Morro Bay. I say that's not a bad thing because it's not. The city's a good city. It's just that people think, well, why are we paying for a festival that the city's throwing us? You know, it's a municipal thing. So we're trying to make the city look better and help us at the same time. And the misconception that we're a for-profit event company. We're not. Nobody makes any money at this. The Saver event has created unique problems with the advertising. We're having a lot of reluctance getting in lieu of advertising. We're going to have to kick out some cash in order to get some of that happening. Our sponsorships with the economy and the Saver event, it's harder for us to find sponsors. And our site rentals, we've had to go back in the history. We've been using a lot of rental equipment from the Central Valley. And last year we did it all local through Taylor Rental, and we found that we're short on supplies and stuff that's available because of the two events, so we had to go back to the Central Valley again this year. But our economy is hurting our vendors. Vendors are reluctant to sign in. So we're trying to find ways to draw visitors and free up expendable money. We're trying to make Carnival Cove free, some ways that once people get here they can spend more money with our vendors. It'll make our vendors happy. It'll make more people come. Everything will be better. Now, our all-new Carnival Cove, we've completely redesigned everything in Carnival Cove. It's going to be brand new. We have two new and exciting inflatables coming. One is the Dolphin Obstacle Course, which is a lot of fun, and the Shark Slide. You climb up inside it and slide out its mouth. So you can have a chance to get out of a great white shark. We have a new, different rock climbing wall coming this year. We were able to secure it for 2 days. Last year, we only had it for 1 day. A lot of kids like that one. Again, this is something we're trying to make free. We need to find sponsorship money in order to do that. And we're real excited about Zooniverse. which is they're going to be contributing major Harbor Festival advertising coming to the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon soon. What is Zooniverse? Thought you might ask. Picture the Zooniverse trailer and their stage. You can watch your favorite Zuzu pets and the new Kung Zoo hamster scurry across America. The Zooniverse tour will be visiting 20 cities this summer and fall and welcomes all fans to come live for a day to live life for a day like the zoos. Run through the Zuzu pets' life-size habit trail like Mr. Squiggles or through the ninja and special forces training grounds like Draco and Sergeant Surge to test the ultimate question, which zoo are you? A little habit trail that you can run through. And it's for adults, too. And there's an obstacle course and a little personality testing booth where you find out what kind of hamster personality you are. Zuzu pets are interactive, trainable hamster toys. It's the newest craze that's hitting the market this fall. And they're doing a major media blitz starting right about now. So they're coming. Bay races, we're still in planning stages to have a paddle what you got race. It's going to be kind of informal. One of the mornings, we're not sure exactly what morning. It's going to be led by the Dragon Boat team. And if you got something that you can paddle, you can get in the bay, and everybody's going to start at the same time and end at the same time, and it's going to go after one trophy. So it's going to be kind of a free-for-all fun event. Morro Bay Yacht Club is planning some sailboat races out there, which got us in the Tribune last year during the weekend, which was really wonderful. And all our normal things are returning. Our Silent Seas auction is bigger and better than ever. You can find a list of the items on the website. Our California Cuisine Pavilion, the commercial fishermen are becoming a big part of that this year. Our Marine Touch Tank, a seafood display, Heritage Museum, Arts and Crafts, the Commercial Expo, and of course we'll have a barbecue albacore. The ROV display and build was a big hit last year. It's going to be back. The rescue demonstration by the sheriffs and the Morro Bay Fire Department, or the Highway Patrol and Morro Bay Fire Department. Of course, our sandcastle. We have an all-new train coming. It'll be different. I haven't seen it yet. Of course, the chowder contest, the oyster eating contest, the Hawaiian shirt contest, and much, much more. Actually, as soon as we're done here, I got to run to the chowder contest judging today. So the commercial fishermen are having and how they're trying to overcome them. So it's more of the education thing, too. And our headliners for both days. I have secured a major headliner, national headliner for both days. We went ahead and bit the bullet and auctioned off the horse and hope that we can talk you into something today. For Saturday, we have booked John Waite as our major headliner. And he's huge hits in the 80s and 90s. He comes from a band called The Babies and Bad English. It should be very popular. There's a lot of draw amongst the top 40 crowd. And Sunday we have a lineup of all blues bands headlined by Coco Montoya, which is huge. So we have a major day that's going to target different crowd on Saturday and Sunday. These are both big name acts, and we're really happy to have two headliners for a change that are coming from outside of the area. Our Starboard Community Stage, we've got some international things going on with our local, our high school choir, American Karate School, Pacific Chorus, Too Young to Marry is three high school age girls that play Irish music. Bronco Chorus, Cuesta Jazz Ensemble, Bucket Busters, they've been here before. North County Cloud Flippers is a remote control airplane and helicopter demonstration team that's going to be on the stage early before the crowd gets here. Big Rock Balalakas, which is a Russian folk and a dancing and educational group, and Beno Surat, I hope I got that belly dancer name, and the Cal Poly Filipino Dance. And I think there's a couple more still getting booked. We're looking for sponsors and partnerships, particularly for the Embarcadero stage. We're looking for $15,000 to help offset the cost of the two major headliners that we have, and to help give us some monies to get some advertising going out there. We're got to get some word out. Carnival Cove, we're trying to make Carnival Cove completely free for the kids to enjoy this year. Usually you pay for tickets on each ride. It costs about $8,000 to put on Carnival Cove. We have 5,500 dedicated from Morro Bay Furniture, and Zuzu Pets has helped out, so we're still looking for $2,500 for that. And our zero waste program, it costs about $1,000, $1,500 to get that going, and we're still looking for that. Any help we can get to offset or waiver of city fees. I know it's not really your department, but I like to say it publicly as much as I can. Other ways to help, of course, we can help more local businesses participate. We can encourage package deals with visitors. Volunteer, participate. Make sure you bring your family and friends. Donate to the silent auction. It's huge this year. I'm starting an email campaign to Huell Hauser to get California gold here. I don't know if it'll work, but there's his email address coming up right there, huell@calgold.com. More people that email, the better chance that he'll come. It'll be a wonderful show for him to do and a very good chance to promote Morro Bay. We can encourage local celebrities and dignitaries to participate. I'm still in favor of a dunk tank with the city council. Shop, eat, and play locally, of course, and think green. Eliminate plastic and polystyrene from your life. That's my own personal pitch, but it's part of our zero waste program. Here's a list of some of our major sponsors that have really been a big help for us so far this year. As you see, Thomas Kincaid has donated two very nice prints for a silent auction. And Zooniverse, Morro Bay Furniture is a big one. Solar Ranch is helping us for education for solar energy. Of course, Cobalt Bankers doing our sandcastle. National Estuary Program is sponsoring us with a grant for the educational, marine educational wing. And Bob's Big Boy has come on as a sponsor, and they're going to do our barbecue up in the beer gardens area this year, which relieves us of a little bit of work and gives a local business, even though it's a national chain, it's still a local business, gives them a chance to get some advertising out there. And we'd love to see the TBID name up there somewhere. So it's a Bounty of the Bay, 29th Annual Morro Bay Harbor Festival, October 2nd and 3rd. We hope to see you there. And here's all my contact information and contact information for the festival. I also wanted to show you, just real quickly, these just came in yesterday to our office. I guess these are the visitor's guides that get distributed to hotels throughout the county. They're in the hotels right now. We have a two-page spread in that one. And then the travel host. Also, we got a two-page spread in those. I don't know exactly how we got there, but we did, and we were really happy about it because we're out there in the hotel. So, if there's any questions or anything I can answer, available.
I would say stick around because we might have some. I'm going to real quickly Joan has asked me to read her letter that's all in front of you, so I'm going to go ahead and read this real quick. Joan's not present, but... I will read this for you. It just says, Dear board members, I am sorry I'm unable to be with you at your August 19th, 2010 meeting. I will return for the September meeting. Please note that when you are considering any request for funding or any partnership that the hotelier all pay into the TBID fund equally, the assessment is proposed to return to 3% as soon as November, and the first public hearing on the matter will be held on September 13th. Until the final vote is taken, we must work within the 2% budget that has been established. In the past, we have shown support for two large events and one small event, the fourth in the Sustainable Harvest Seafood Watch. On Sunday, the Battle of the Bay will take place with two of Morro Bay's top chefs competing in front of a large crowd that will be waiting for celebrity chef Tyler Florence. The Battle of the Bay will highlight all of the best culinary offerings of Morro Bay, including seafood, and the winner will be selected by Katie Tammany, chief editor of Sunset Magazine. Saturday and Sunday, the Morro Bay T-Bid will be part of the county-wide marketing effort with a large state-of-the-art trade booth at the event. We will be featured as the heart of Scenic Highway 1. They are expecting 8,000 participants at this 21-year-old and older event. The $1.5 million spent in marketing this event has been primarily spent in Los Angeles and the Bay Area. Morro Rock was purchased as the destination shop for every poster, ticket, and feature ads and the Savor Central Coast website. The iconic rock will receive over 15 million impressions, thus making our purchase a good marketing value. The marketing of the event began 6 months ago, and Morro Bay has been heavily highlighted. The event is not using portable restroom facilities from a supplier in our county and is not using any temporary fencing. It is a lovely event that the Morro Bay T-Bid showed support for because we wanted to join so Morro Bay would be linked to the marketing campaign. Dahlia Days is a small startup event that will take place on the last weekend in August. This is a slow weekend as travel dies and school across the country begins. We are trying to encourage startup or expansion of events from 1 or 2 days to 2 and 3 days. This small event fell into the criteria and the support was granted. The Harbor Festival is a wonderful event and is a part of the yearly schedule of fine events that the city and our citizens offer. They are requesting $15,000 for a band on Sunday and an additional marketing push. The event has been primarily marketed in the Central Valley, which is great for Morro Bay. This will be the Harbor Festival's 28th year. They are firmly established and have continued to have success prior to the Morro Bay T-Bid formation. The festival and its supporters work hard to provide a wonderful, family-friendly, all-ages event that is the only event to fit this category in the entire county on the first weekend of October. I would like to see the T-Bid support their effort. That is why I'm suggesting that our board grant funding of up to $3,000 for marketing with an additional $3,000 in like-kind advertising support to be done through TGA. Remembering that we are promoting tourism through advertising, we must move quickly if we are to help. The timing is critical as the window for support to market the event is only 42 days. The Harbor Festival is firmly established, and we must support them due to rising marketing costs. The success of their event is important for the city of Morro Bay. Any funding granted should be for the marketing effort, and as such, we should request a link for the year to the hoteliers booking page on morrobay.org, as every hotelier pays into the TBID pool of funds equaling at 2%. We should be listed as the Morro Bay Lodging and Tourism Alliance on any and all promotional material, including posters, if time permits, and our banner should be displayed as a sponsor of the event. Please know that I will support the board in your decision. I look forward to returning in September. Thank you, Joan. So that was Joan's letter for the record. So I'll open that up for discussion.
If I could, I did this at the promotions committee, so Hunter's heard this before, but I could give you kind of a update on what we're doing currently as part of the BID advertising as well as the city. We are in the process. This will be the first part of September. We're going to send out an email newsletter to 40,000 subscribers of the Los Angeles Times who read the paper online, and that will be going predominantly to Orange County and L.A. Target group. The Harbor Festival won't be the only event. We're going to mention Savor as well, but it will be mentioned very similar to what the e-newsletter that you saw previously that we sent out to the database. We did just ran an ad in Bakersfield, the Bakersfield, California, and Bakersfield Life, which is a lifestyle magazine that's inserted in the Californian, and we did include the Harbor Festival as an upcoming event in that ad. We're in the process of doing two co-op ads with the county and the Fresno Bee and Bakersfield, Californian, so those will be, and Harbor Fest will be included in those. We did send out the email newsletter that you're all aware of to our database, and we plan on doing that again in the next few weeks to promote the Harbor Festival as well as Savor and the Avocado Margarita Festival. I did email David Owens, and I'll work with Hunter, and we've already talked about that, of helping with the PR. My agency's through the years always done that and like to work with the Harbor Festival and helping any way we can. I think there's some places where we maybe help to leverage the current media that they're doing just because of the clout that we have with some of the media over in Bakersfield and Fresno. And then also we just recently updated with the city's Facebook, or the Chamber's Facebook, we updated the Harbor Festival as well as the Savor as well. And we'll continue to do those postings. So we are doing the ongoing advertising that we have. We certainly included the Harbor Festival as much as we possibly could. And then, of course, they're on the website as well. And anything else we can do, I'm going to be working with them to make sure that we do as much as we can. And that's just not anything to do with the discussion, just as a background.
Just so we know what we're doing.
Right.
Did you go before the promotions committee earlier?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did they fund any money?
They don't really have any money.
I'm just curious. Okay. Didn't think so, but don't like to assume.
And to bring more money for your, more bang for the buck to the visitors, last year attendance at the festival has been falling off. It's been falling off hard, and we're really in danger. We got to bring in more people and get them to spend more money, or we're not going to have Harbor Festival anymore. So we had to make this effort this year, and we dipped a little bit into our reserves to do it.
Okay, so my other question is, so basically the budget's been increased because we're trying to get entertainment that costs more.
Correct.
Okay, now here's my next question on that. Are you increasing your ticket price this year from last year?
Okay. No, we've actually offered a package that we didn't have before, where there's a one-day package now where you can save $3 on the one-day package that you couldn't do before.
And how much money last year was given to nonprofits, and what are you budgeting for nonprofits this year?
Our average that we give is $20,000. We gave $25,000 last year because the music festival helped us with a couple thousand. Our actual operating budget for the year is around $250,000, mm-hmm. and $225,000 of that is overhead, so the $25,000 is what went to the nonprofits. I, for one, if you see 26 years, $435,000, you know, I mean, that's a lot of work for a little bit of money. I want to see that get up higher, and we're working real hard by bringing in other sponsors and You know, we brought in Zuzu Pets to bring in Carnival Cove. We'll be able to offer Carnival Cove for free, and we can bring in more sponsors for that. We can bring in sponsors for the more money we can save on what we have to pay to bring activities to get the visitors, that means the more money that we can give the nonprofits.
So my final question is, on your line item for advertising in the budget, mm-hmm. what was that to begin the year, and what is it ending up at?
I don't have the budget with me. I don't think we have a line item for advertising dollars. In the past, it's all been in-kind advertising, but we're having a real tough time getting the TV stations and radio stations locally. We have the Valley. The Valley kicks down real well for us. We give them tickets, and they give them away as prizes, and they do a lot of advertising.
So then if we chose to give you $3,000 or $5,000, and we specifically earmarked it for advertising, how would it be spent?
I'm advertising, if that's what
I know, but where? I would like to know where. Like, would it be TV? Would it be radio? Would it be print ads? That's what I'm curious.
I'm not prepared to answer that question right now. It would be spent in local advertising. We're doing okay. We got Westways. We got the Travel Host magazine and stuff like that. We're having a tough time finding local in-kind advertising.
So for local advertising, does that mean like for printing the posters? And
no, it could be for printing posters, but I'm thinking more along the line of trying to get network and radio coverage.
Okay. And locally means like
San
for
Luis
the
Obispo County.
Okay. So. Okay. Thank you.
I mean, that's just off the top of my mm-hmm. head idea.
Any other comments?
Question for you, Hunter. Has the board, the Harbor Festival board, made any effort to get with the Saver board and set up any kind of co-oping or getting people to come from their event to this event and those kinds of things? Because I know it's...
You're going to open a can of worms.
What's that?
You're going to open a can of worms.
Well...
The Saver event contacted us last November and told us about what they were planning on doing and asked us if we would have any problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we didn't know the exact details of Saver event, but initially, yeah, you want to throw a festival on the same time as us in the same county, we're going to compete. As it turns out, with the cost of the Saver event itself and the 21 and over crowd that they're targeting and where they're doing their marketing, as far as the draw, the people to Morro Bay, I don't think it's affecting us at all. In January and February, we met with them once. They asked us for a list of ways that we could cooperate and help. We gave them a list that was an easy list. We weren't asking for a lot. We asked them to sponsor one of the bands, of course, but that'll help draw a lot of people. And but they basically said that they couldn't help us in any way, that any decision to help us would be up to Sunset Magazine. They're offering a shuttle. I hear them time after time after time at these meetings offer a shuttle to Morro Bay. You go to their website. Their website says that they are running a shuttle from Morro Bay, not to Morro Bay. And it's going from 895 Napa, which is the post office in our office. It's not going from the festival. And they've made no contact with us since February in any way, shape, or form. We really want to cooperate. We can work together. This could be a win-win for everybody. You know, but we've offered them tickets so they can give every one of their visitors, every one of their people a ticket. They said, no, they don't want that. You know, they're really not trying to help us in any way. They say they're trying to cooperate and they're communicating, but they have not contacted us at all since February except to tell us that they can't help us in any way, shape, or form.
If the festival's going on?
We'd love to do that. Our byline theme last year was uptown, downtown, and sailing around, try to focus it. There's more than just the waterfront because it's always the waterfront. We would absolutely love that more than anything to benefit every community, every single business during that weekend. By having a weekend event and to promote off-season tourism, we're letting people know it's not summer. It's October. You can come to Morro Bay. You can spend a weekend. You know, hopefully they'll come here. They'll have so much fun at the waterfront. They'll have so much fun at the Harbor Festival. They'll come back another time when the Harbor Festival is not happening, and that's when they're going to be able to spend more money at the restaurants.
It's a tough question because I know it's a problem to solve.
Ideally, all the restaurants and all the businesses in town can have booths, and you know they can come down. And the vendor space isn't that much, and we work deals and stuff. You know, so the opportunity is there. And that's our part of our primary mission is to promote all the businesses in Morro Bay, not just the waterfront.
Has there been a change in the makeup of your board in the last year? And the reason I'm asking is it just seems like I'm hearing a little more community outreach and a little more let's advertise the charity part of this thing.
There's the entire board except for two members is new this year. There's nine new members on the board right now. Another thing that we're just kind of doing by default, we usually have three coordinators that run different events, the entertainment coordinator and the site coordinator and the sea and wine food coordinator. We did come to contract with an entertainment coordinator. We're doing it in-house this year. We're saving a little bit of money that way. We'll be able to get some more money to the charities. And our seafood pavilion coordinator ended up having to take a full-time job due to the economy, so she had to drop out. And our site coordinators had some physical illnesses, so we're pretty much doing everything in-house now. And we have a very active working board of directors. Part of my drive being on the board, this is my second year, is this is not a figurehead board. You know, if you want to be a member of the board of directors, we want you to get out in the community. We want you to take a job. We've broken the festival up into 11 areas. Say, take an area, adopt it, make it yours, and push it. So that's why we're trying to get a better face on it. People don't know what the Harbor Festival is. There's a misconception. We're trying to let people know we're not a business trying to make money. All the board members, we don't make a penny. We're not allowed to by our bylaws make any money. We're not paid. We're 100% volunteers.
As a comment from the chamber, I don't know if I can comment on the restaurants, but I know that the hoteliers do benefit from this. One of the things that we talked about, and it didn't come together this year, but we're hoping to work with the Harbor Festival next year, is to bring back the festival after dark through the downtown area. And we've even talked with merchants about doing that as a joint venture with the chamber. I think maybe Nick might be able to talk about the restaurants and how they are impacted by that a little more than I
can. Well, I can tell you that our restaurant, that weekend's one of our busiest weekends just because there's just so many people in town. And I don't understand how maybe it's a restaurant that's nearby the Harbor Festival that gets impacted but negatively, but I can't imagine anybody with the population of Morro Bay doubling that weekend not have a good weekend. What are they doing? It just doesn't make sense, but... you know, I was when earlier in the year when we gave funding to the Saver, which turned out to be a great investment for this community. You know, I just had a feeling that this issue with the Harbor Festival would come up, and I'm surprised that the Harbor Festival didn't come to this board sooner than last month and say, hey, you know, we would like some support as well. So I'm in favor of giving support to the Harbor Festival. I'm not sure if $15,000 would be in line, but I'm thinking more in the $10,000 range. I know Joan was in the $6,000 range with in-kind and advertising, but I would like it to see, if we do decide on an amount, I would like it to see go towards promotion, because that's what this board is all about. So. As far as just having it go directly to fund a band for I'm not sure if we could do that or not, but I would be in favor of funding some more promotion to get. I mean, we just like the Harbor Festival brings people to Morro Bay, the Saver's bringing people to the county, and I think there's a way. You know, I'm not sure if we have enough time to do that, but there is a way to get those people here as well, and I think it could be a win for the Harbor Festival. So
by funding an entertainment act, what we're trying to do is to help the hoteliers in the community. First, I want to say with the party at night thing on the town. I'd like to see that before. In the past, it's been Saturday. We'd like to see activities go into Friday. We can't do it down there because of all the activity. But if we can get people here on Friday for the Harbor Festival, we can get them for two nights in the hotels. That'll help you guys out.
I think I can leverage the money because of the contacts that I have. I think the one problem is, and I understand your dilemma, the problem, I think this board would probably be more comfortable with out-of-market advertising because the out-of-market would more result mm-hmm. in overnight stays. So maybe there's a compromise there. We could do some more valley advertising, but I think I could help you with somebody like KCOY. If we had just a little seed money, like $2,000 or $3,000, I think I could double that, because the good news is, in a bad economy, they're suffering too. So you give them a little bit of cash, and you can, and I've had this true for other nonprofits that I've worked with. So that could be something to think about. And, you know, not just buying spots, but maybe getting them involved in some sort of promotion or contest or something like that, where we really get the name out.
If you buy spots, it helps get them out here.
Right, right.
We've had a problem with all our TV stations, even getting them to cover the festival. You know,
but I may be able to, because I've spent 20 years working with these people, you know, locally as well as in the Valley. So I just give that to the board that, you know, if I place it and work directly with the Harbor Festival, I think that you would have that control. The message would be, you know, obviously the Harbor Festival, but also emphasize the lodging, which is who would be paying for this, and trying to get some sort of message there about coming to stay. And, you know, what we could do, one compromise for it to be locally, and we've done this before, is a stay vacation. And, you know, maybe encouraging people to come who are from Santa Maria and or from Paso Robles or whatever, and have them come and take a little mini vacation and stay here. So that would be one way to accomplish the local attendance, but also try to incorporate, you know, stay. And maybe we can come up with some sort of locals-only package or something that we could do. We're running out of time, so we'd have to really put our heads together and figure out what that message would be. But that would be one way to do that. But and then the other idea, and I don't know how much Hispanic advertising you're doing, but, you know, that again, locally, you know, that might be something to think about, is running a little bit of advertising on Hispanic television and getting that market to come as well. And it's a lucrative market, and it's one that's, again, we did that down in Santa Maria, and we saw some return from that. So that could be another possibility,
well, we
too.
We did try hard to find mariachis or salsa or some type of that entertainment. We're having a tough time doing it. I do want to apologize to the committee for the 11th hour request. It was through research of city activities that I discovered back in January and February this what came to the TBID, and we actually were supposed to be asked to be on the February Promotions Committee agenda. We were on the February Promotions Committee agenda, just nobody asked us or told us about it, so we weren't aware. So I've gone back and looked at the last 6 months worth of tapes, and I saw that there was an interest in this earlier in the year. And I heavily apologize. I know it's the 11th hour, and we will definitely be talking to you earlier in the season for next year. But, and then we can plan a bigger event and all that.
Okay, so I know we're on a time crunch. Anybody else have any comments?
The only thing that I wanted to say is that I would specifically like us to look at it for advertising. And I would like Channel 12, I think, is that the case? Because they do go beyond the locals, because we're not going to get people staying here from San Luis Obispo. Right. So,
yeah, they would hit as far as Santa Barbara,
yeah,
which would be good.
Which right. is much better.
I have a couple comments to make, too. There's also there's a shuttle stop actually at the corner of Main and Beach for Sunset. To my knowledge, what I've been told sitting on the trade show subcommittee and working with Josh and Steve quite a bit, I believe they're selling Harbor Festival tickets at Sunset. So I'm about 99% sure of that.
Where are they getting them?
I don't know. But
they have not come to us and asked for them. We've offered them. We were told by them, I've heard them tell you, that they would not sell tickets.
Oh, no, I believe that they're selling them there. And I'll clarify
that.
I know
Joan's talking about giving them away.
Oh, maybe. I heard that they were going to be actually sending them, because the shuttle, I know, is dropping them off at
but
the corner.
But if you go
there.
To their website, it specifically says there's a shuttle from Morro Bay to Santa Margarita, not both.
Oh, well, I believe it goes back and forth.
Here before you and said that the reason they're doing the Oyster tour on Friday is because logistically to get people from Santa Margarita to Morro Bay, have them in to have some fun, and get them back would take them away from too much of the Saver event. So that's why they couldn't do it on Saturday. So they're
right.
not going to promote. They're really honestly not going to promote people coming down here for the day.
Yeah.
They're promoting getting people from here.
Right. Okay. Which I don't want to titter back and forth. A couple other things, too. I have to be honest. I'm very – and you mentioned it. You apologize for the timeline. I feel like it is definitely the 11th hour. And I think to try to do something multi-day, you know, after 28 years, it'd be great to see you guys do a multi-day. For me as a hotelier, I don't fill up on Friday. I still am usually vacant. So, which is why we've given you guys free rooms Friday night, because we're empty. So, you know, Saturday it benefits us, but that's really about it. Being that many years you guys have been established, it'd be nice to see you stretch it out to, you know, later Sunday and do something on Friday to try to get some comfortable only seeing maybe like the zero greenways, 1500, 2500 for the Carnival Cove, having John do some advertising. I think to give out a lot of cash at this much time, I'm a little nervous. I'd really like to see it more go into advertising myself, and I wouldn't be keen for tons of... I think 10,000 is way too much on my end. I wouldn't do that, being that we gave 10,000 to the 4th of July because if we didn't give them that, the event may not have went on. And that was why we gave such a huge amount to the 4th, was it was a... maybe the it would break the event. So for me personally, you know, I'm looking more around 25,000-3,000 cash, and then of course doing some advertising. But I don't know if we would want that 25,000 just or 2,500 to stay in and give that to John to advertise. That's where I'm comfortable at. So that's my two cents on that. So somebody can.
I'm thinking that it is my main concern. I think that we've all expressed is the last minute request. You have your budget in place. You have your events in place. You've already gone through and funded for this. Obviously, at this point, I mean, you would have had to have. But I also think that that TBID can get some benefit, which is our mission statement for our. Suppliers, our hoteliers, our lodging industry, and tourism industry for the city. And I think that it's fair to try to contribute something. I'm not at all comfortable with trying to become a major sponsor at this point, primarily because of the time frame. But I also think that perhaps some in-kind placement that we've already got going, or we could actually, like Michelle suggested, increase budget to a certain extent for advertising. I think the way we get the most benefit out of this is going to be in marketing and advertising to promote this and get it out so that your attendance goes up. So that's, I think we're kind of on the same page from that point of view.
So I'm going to, yeah, I don't know. I'm always the one making motions, and I don't have to make them today. So it's all on you guys. I don't know if somebody wants to throw a number out there and start from there, or how you guys want to go about this.
Well, from the advertising standpoint, I think if we had, and I'm just, you know, I'm just going about with Joan's letters because I thought that was a, you know, maybe a fair amount, just from the advertising. I'm not, your cash, whatever you decide as a board, obviously, is your decision. I think if I had $3,000, you have an event category, we haven't tapped into that yet, that I could grow that at least to be $6,000, you know, with working with the stations. But, Hunter, I want you to know I would work with you, too, to say this is what I'm planning. Does this make sense to you? Just so I don't say I did something and then you say, well, you know, that we already had done that, or that's not really our target. So it'd be something that would be mutually agreed upon. But I think KCLY would be a good one to go to. You have a spot, I'm assuming you have a TV spot. Already produced,
yeah.
Is that okay? So well, maybe we could help with that as well. But again, what I would do, the messaging there would be stay vacation, you know, come and spend the, you know, come to Harbor Festival and stay, because I think that would only be fair to the LBID, but I think it would achieve the purposes that the Harbor Festival wants too, maybe even better, because they'd be more likely to come for both days. So that would be the advertising. That's what I could throw that amount out.
I have a question. You brought up something very interesting to me. So basically you're talking about the matching. If we produced a, what, is it a 30-second commercial or 60-second commercial?
30-second.
That they could use every year, because you can use it every year with, okay. What would that cost approximately?
Well, I imagine you have spots from last year, right? Have you done TV before?
No, they haven't.
We've never got a TV.
So this is my question, because what would that cost? Because that's something that would be a good investment for us, and they could use it every year. You could get Michelle on the rides with her kids, and
You know? We could also put it on the website, which would be great.
Right.
Too. You can have a 30-second spot.
Okay,
that would be
again,
on the website
so what would
prior.
That cost? Would it cost hard cost $5,000?
No, it would probably be about $1,000.
Okay, $1,000. And then what would it cost us on the channels to run it?
Probably anywhere from, you know, if we had 3,000, I think that would be enough to get the station's attention. I can't guarantee that they would match it, but we would get bonus spots.
So that's 4,000 total, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, if it's 4,000 to do that, then for next year you would have a figure if you could use the same commercial and then run it, that you could do a budgetary line item of $5,000 of live ads, which would even go farther. You could start them earlier and stuff like that. That might be a really nice thing to
do. Well, I thought you guys had it. I mean, if we had a TV spot, a 30-second spot, we mm-hmm. could leverage that even further. Because
I'd like to make a motion that we approve up to $5,000 specifically for advertising, but look at an ad and kind of leave it in your hands, John. I think you know what we want, and I would like to produce a commercial. It would also leave and maybe put earmark $1,000 or $1,500 of that to help with the printing of the posters, so that we're at $3,500 for producing the commercial, getting the ad spot, and then $1,500 for printing the posters and have our name on the posters. I think that's going to benefit us not only this year, but if we can put something together, it can be used ongoing. Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question. When you,
hold on, we have a motion on the floor, okay. So
there's
we need
a
second.
On the table. So, does anybody want a second? Okay. So the motion fails. Now you can ask your question.
In the event that something actually happens here, well, my mind's on it, when you say our name, would it be Tourism Business Improvement District or City of Morro Bay?
It would say Morro Bay Tourism and Lodging Alliance. We have a logo and everything. And then, John, you had a question or comment.
Yeah, this is a good discussion, so I appreciate all this. In no particular order, I think we're all leaning towards some in-kind kind of stuff here. And I think at this point in time, with 6 weeks to go, you're going to have to trust the advertising people and not really put any limitations on them. I think if John says if we give him $3,000, he can lever that to $6,000. I think we just got to let him run with that kind of a thing. I share the comment about being late because I think we've lost benefit. So I would ask that at our October meeting, you would be back for asking for next year. So we can get into the trenches a lot earlier with the chamber and everybody else and really begin to work together.
Absolutely. I want to continue an ongoing partnership where we can just keep working together and make this bigger and better.
And I guess the last thing, I'm leaning towards let's go with 3,000 and let John lever it.
I think it would be better to if we're going to do a TV spot, because I thought there was an existing spot. If it was three for the media and 1,000 for the production, that would be probably the best. I mean, if it only is three, I can make 2,000 work, but three would probably get more of the station's attention.
And I was going to say, and then let's help out with if it's 4,000, then let's do that, let you lever that, and maybe we throw another $2,500 in cash on top of that. Is where I would, I think, be coming from. I'd like to.
So then you're talking about $6,500 instead of the $5,000.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, I think that's a little high. I would be comfortable giving John $3,000, giving him $3,000. Not that I don't support the Harbor Festival. I support them, and my hotels are supporting them. I feel like the benefit that we're going to get this late in the time is really tough. And I think for me the biggest thing too is, you know, they are not they're a much more established event. You know, they're 28 years in, and I don't want to see 4th of July coming here in 28 years and asking us still for money. So that's for me kind of what's really hard. You know, I even 3,000 I think, and I really want to see it go into advertising is I think, you know, about where I'm kind of at. I'd maybe say sponsor the Carnival Cove or do 1500 for the green. I love the green thing they're doing. I think to see maybe 1500 go there, I'd maybe support that a little bit. And then the 3000 for the advertising. But I hate to just throw cash out without a set of where it's going, because a lot of it goes back into that, to the scholarships or wherever they do.
I think our main focus should be on the advertising side. I think John has said that to really do something effective is probably going to be more like 4,000. I think 4,000 for advertising is well within budget. I like the idea of kind of being a co-sponsor of the effort to go green. I think that plays very much into the city's brand of nature, the natural aspects of the area. And so I would be willing, I think you said, 1,000 to 1,500 to promote this green program, to put another 1,000 in on that and bring the budget, the total, excuse me, the total contribution up to 5,000.
If you could just restate it.
So I'm putting a motion forward that we would contribute $5,000 with $4,000 going into advertising and $1,000 to sponsor the Green Waste Program for the Harbor Festival.
And I'll second that.
At the table, us giving $4,000 to TJA to do advertising and do the TV spot, and us giving you the $1,000 for the green, would our logo would be on those posters?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If I can get the logo today.
Okay. Yeah, we've got it. And as well as, and then we could be up on the website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I'm looking at a long-term partnership to keep on
right.
the website. We also, you know, we have 8,000 members on our Facebook page.
Right. And I know you guys do the June event.
We do a music festival.
Right. Okay.
And I'm looking at a long-term partnership here.
Okay, perfect.
And then you're going to cover for me not being there for the chowder cook-off.
We got
yeah. Okay, so we have a second. We have a motion on the table. It's been for any other discussion.
Just have a clarification. What do you mean by $1,000 to the green?
So they are basically, we would be giving them $1,000 cash, and they would do that to sponsor the sustainable.
The green waste.
The green waste.
Right.
Green waste system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would go to trash cans.
No, but they are stations that we have to build and man, where people come by, you walk up to it. I don't know if you were there last year. There's a notice one of them. But people walk up, and there's little signs. There's four trash cans, and this says, put your plastic here, put your paper here, your styrofoam here. It spills it all out. And people were, like, standing there with their plates of trash going, oh, wow, okay. And they were actually doing it. It was really amazing to watch.
It's becoming more common. You're starting to see those multiple trash cans.
And we also buy, that's another thing I didn't mention as part of our Green Zero Waste. We buy biocompostable products, plates and forks and spoons and cups, and give them to the food vendors and tell them, leave your styrofoam at home. And we had all our vendors last year except for one was willing to cooperate, and they just didn't quite understand that we were giving them something. It's like, we're saving you money here. So they're trying to reduce waste that way.
Okay, perfect. So, motion on the table. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor? Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. So, a motion carries 5-1. Okay.
I think I'm going to leave then, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm recalling, I remember we have footage.
Okay.
And I think we can make it work, because I know my videographer actually has taken video for the Harbor Festival for us.
Okay, so we move on to declaration of future agenda items.
The one issue that I have is discussion regarding Jackrabbit and reservation issues.
Perfect. So, Jackrabbit, anybody else want to put anything on?
I would just like information. This is going to sound crazy, but I would like to get information on the trolley. I would like to know what it costs the city to run that trolley, because that is a great people mover and an advertising vehicle.
We're happy to provide that information. I'm not sure it needs to be an agenda item.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
Okay,
so any other future agenda items anybody would like to see on there? Okay, so I think we have just Jackrabbit for future agenda items, and we are adjourned. Right, that easy?
We're adjourned.